You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Fight. Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the bell, the Undertaker's bell, tolls. It can only mean one thing, Full Guard Fight Radio. I am your host, Jason London, and with me, as always, Carl the Madman Mortensen. Great show tonight. Super pumped about it. Carl, are you there? We got business to take care of, man. Are you there tonight, Carl?
I'm here, man. I'm here. Feeling great. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm back on Full Guard Fight Radio with my man, Carl. We got a great show ahead of us tonight. We have the MFC middleweight champion, Smiling Sam Alvey, tonight. Looking to defend the title. What is it? MFC 40 coming up. We also have Isaac Hockel, who is the promoter for Battle for the Border 3. You might know a little bit something about that, right, Carl?
Maybe a little bit about something about that. Yeah, pretty excited. I helped Isaac out a little bit putting his card together, and I'm heading to his event next weekend or this coming Saturday, I guess. Pretty excited.
This coming Saturday, so you probably should leave right after the show to be able to get there in time, right?
Yeah. Actually, for me, this is a fairly close event. It's only like 3 hours and a half an hour ferry ride.
and 14 days of dog sled.
Exactly, yeah. Just a couple of mountain ranges over. Hey, I got to ask you something. How do I sound tonight? Do I have like a weird echo or anything? I'm sitting in my new studio. I'm out in the combat cruiser, giving it a whirl, making sure everything's working. Just curious. I got a weird sound or what's going on?
Carl, that combat cruiser sounds perfect. You sound like an angel playing a harp. That's how good you sound. I hear no echo. I hear no. Nothing sounds different to me tonight, Carl. You sound just like the good old Carl Madman Mortensen you always are.
Okay, cool. Because it definitely sounds a little different to me in here. There's a, it's a fairly closed space compared to what I'm used to using. But I figured tonight, I was going to give it a whirl out here and I'm still making sure everything works in this thing. So that's what I'm doing. I'm ready to rock.
Yeah. No, you sound great, man. I definitely am looking forward. Excuse me. Definitely looking forward to talking to Isaac tonight. I know you've done a lot of work on this, Carl. I see you putting out a lot of tweets. I see you putting out a lot of Facebook messages, and I'm interested in picking your brain a little bit with Isaac's. I'm jealous on that end. That's something that I really want to get into if my real life would allow. It would be the promotion and the matchmaking end. Things like that. So looking forward to talking to Isaac, and you got to be looking forward to talking to Smiling Sam Alvey, the MFC 185 middleweight champ going into MFC 40. Looking forward to picking his brain. excuse me, I got a little tickle in the throat tonight. We're going to work through it, but He fights May 9th. He fights Wes Swofford, who was on the show last week with Spencer Pablo El Diablo and yourself, cutting your teeth with Wes Swofford. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Sam has to say about him, and just kind of banging through this week in MMA. So I'm not sure. Not sure if you really followed it. WrestleMania 30 was this past Sunday. Did you see anything about it, Carl?
The only thing I saw about it was all the shock about The Undertaker losing.
Yeah, I gotta be 100% honest with you, Carl. I haven't watched wrestling since I was, I don't know, maybe in about five or six years. And a buddy of mine asked me and my son if we wanted to come over. My son is just 7 years old, just getting into it, and he's a big John Cena fan, and he still thinks that wrestling's real, and, the whole shebang. So we go over to my buddy's house to watch it, and I promise I don't even pay much attention to it, and then The Undertaker comes out. It's Brock Lesnar, and I got to say, Brock looked great. I mean, having that the diverticulitis and, losing all that weight and then the steroids and everything, he looked great. I mean, physically he looked like the UFC Brock Lesnar. Just looked in incredible shape. Didn't look all roided out, didn't look all, huge and disgusting. And then he breaks the streak, the 21-0 of Undertaker WrestleMania, 21 appearances, 21 victories, and he breaks the streak. And I don't know enough about wrestling anymore to even know that I was shocked, but I was shocked. And I really think there were some grown men in that audience that were weeping and sobbing and acting a fool. And I couldn't believe it. So I knew it had to be something impressive, but there's all this hubbub about the streak ending and the streak ending to Brock Lesnar and yada, yada, yada. It kind of made me chuckle a little bit, but I can't believe I was really that wrapped up in it. And the worst part about this whole little story that I'm telling here, Carl, is I watched last night's Monday Night Raw. I mean, it hooked me so bad that I was stuck to the TV last night, too. It was incredible to me. It was ridiculous. But, it was, I felt like I was a, 17-year-old kid again watching WrestleMania. But, it hooked me, man. It hooked me. It's like a soap opera. My wife said, man, you're an idiot. It's a soap opera for men. And then she proceeded to go in and watch her taped Young and the Restless show. So, I don't know.
sounds about right. If they ever plan on having like another thumbtack match or something, I might watch it. But other than that, I don't have much time for it.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way I felt. I wanted to take my son over. He's just starting to get into it. He's 7 years old. Myself, I remember feeling the same way as him. Wrestling's real, and he was all excited about John Cena fighting and whatnot. And I couldn't be less interested. And then, I started finding myself, getting into it. And then last night I was hooked right back into it, Carl. So I don't know what the hell is the matter with me. But, Twitter, the Twitter universe absolutely broke, I think, when The Undertaker lost. So, but on the other end, some big happenings in MMA this week. I'm not sure if you've seen Melvin Gallard sign with the World Series of Fighting. I think that's great for them. I think that's a great acquisition. I think Melvin Gallard, the young assassin, is just an incredible, incredible talent. I know he signed with the World Series of Fighting, and I'm not sure if you saw this because I know you don't follow a whole lot of the UFC, but Jake Shields was released by the UFC this week as well. So have you seen that at all?
Yeah, I caught both of those. I think we had Melvin Gallard press release up probably faster than anybody today. Within like 2 minutes of it being released, I had it up on Madhouse. And, I think that's great for World Series of Fighting myself. Great acquisition there. And as far as Jake Shields goes, I just think that's another idiotic move by the UFC.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's starting to become, if you're not one of Dana's boys, the finger quote boys, and then if you're not one of his super exciting fighters where you're going to just stand and bang. I'm just like the next guy. I enjoy watching a good a good fight. You know, let's not kid ourselves. I'm not a huge Zuffa guy, but damn it, if Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner, the Ultimate Fighter finale comes on, I'm going to stop and I'm going to watch it. That's just an incredible fight. I like guys that stand toe-to-toe and will sit and fight. But I'll tell you what, I'll get that anytime, any day of the week with the MSC. I will get a fight. Daryl Schoonover and I can't remember who he just fought in his last fight, but that fight, they stood and banged. I mean, you'll get that every single time in the MSC. You'll get that every single time in the XFC, you know. But Jake Shields is a legitimate mixed martial artist. I mean, you'll get some time where he's going to lay and pray, but a lot of time, you know, the guy's really technical. The guy's going to give you, he's going to give you his fights. He gained a lot of respect in the, you know, with me in some of his final fights in the UFC. You know, it just goes to show that if you're not Dana White, if you're not on Dana White's, you know, you're not his boy and you're not his golden child, he's just very expendable. And, you know, he makes a mockery of some MMA fans, and it kind of, you know, drives me crazy. But I know you're a big Dana White fan, and I shouldn't be bashing him as much as I am around you, Carl. So I promise you, I won't do that anymore. I won't do that.
It's all good. I'll get over it.
That Melvin Guillard, I couldn't be happier about that Melvin Guillard signing. I know they're coming back down here to the World Series of Fighting, coming back down here to Tampa. I think it's in June or July, Carl. You and I had a little bit of a conversation about it, but coming down here, I couldn't be happier. I mean, the kid is super exciting. The kid is, you know, he's still, I mean, he's not a kid, I guess. You know, he's maybe 20, maybe 30. I don't know. I don't know how old he is, but he's definitely a veteran. He's got a lot of fights under his belt. Super excited. So I'm really, really happy for them. I think that was a really, really good, really, really good signing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time, yeah. I'd be curious to see where Jake Shields lands now. You know, cause I'm sure somebody's going to pick him up, whether it's, you know, 1FC or, you know, who knows, Bellator or World Series or, you know, Rough China. Who knows, man? He's going to end up somewhere. And, you know, there's enough places out there now that can compete or even pay better than Zuffa that, you know, he might end up better in the long run anyhow.
Yeah, and you know what? Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't 1FC just pick up Ben Askren?
Yeah, they picked him up a while ago. Yeah, he's got a, I believe, is it a title fight? I think he's fighting for a title or at the next 1FC event, if I remember correctly. I'd have to pull it up. But.
You know, and that really, really makes me happy. That he did not sign with Zuffa. I really am pleased about that. That there are these fighters who realize that there's other promotions out there. I know they probably didn't go after him as hard as they could have and whatnot, but I'm sure they made a play at him. I'm sure they made contact with his agent. And you know, him signing with 1FC, Ben Askren is no joke. You know, leaving Bellator and moving on from there, he's no joke. You know, the guy's incredible. So not signing with Zuffa makes me happy that there's life outside of Zuffa and you know, not everything is Zuffa product and Dana White and the UFC. So that makes me happy. I think that's a good signing from what I've seen. It's going to be very interesting to see where Jake Shields. I can't imagine him not going to Bellator, though. I really can't. I think it's a place where he's going to end up. I think this fits him perfectly, and I think he fits them perfectly. So, and they got a big fight coming up too. They got King Mo and Rampage coming up. I think a couple weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. I don't know if
they're
going to
say that,
but I'm looking
forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that fight too.
I definitely want to see that fight. I think that's supposed to be their first pay per view.
It is. It absolutely is. They were supposed to have a pay per view a little while ago with Tito and Rampage headlining that, and that didn't happen. Tito got injured, and they kind of scrapped the pay per view aspect of that. But you know, I mean, we bang this drum all the time, Carl. We, meaning MMA Madhouse, and, you know, there is life outside of Zuffa. There is other promotions, and you and I were just kind of laughing off the air prior to coming on that, you know, Skippy and we were just talking about Mark Pavlich and Skippy. You know, I was giggling about being tired, not knowing who won the women's basketball, and you made a great point. You're glad you don't know. I don't know who won the women's basketball, and but I'm like, man, here I am complaining about being tired, and I'm sure Mark Pavlich, who is the owner of the MSC, is probably running about 4.5 miles right now, and Skippy's got 17 TVs strapped up with, you know, every fight in the world going on, and here I am complaining that I'm a little bit tired, but I definitely am starting to feel it again, starting to get back into my groove. I'm looking forward to talking to Sam Alvey. Sure, we're getting here close to, I mean, it's already 11:15. I'm sure we're going to get close to talking to one of these guys soon. And then talking with Isaac Hockel. I'm going to say Isaac Hockey one of these times because I did earlier when I was reading over, you know, his things. I call him Isaac Hockey, and I don't want to do that. I want to be respectful to him. So Isaac Hockel, Battle of the Borders next week, right? Is it next week or the week? It's next week, right? Next Saturday. I believe next Saturday with Battle of the Border 3. And, like Carl said, he is going to be attending that. And I pick on him and I make fun of him because he lives in the middle of nowhere. But he worked very, very hard on Battle of the Border 3 with Isaac. And I'm looking forward to talking to him. Kind of trying to pick his brain as far as being a promoter and you know, matchmaker, and, you know, kind of does it all. I know we had Mark Pavlich on a couple of weeks ago that he was able to give me a little insight about it and, you know, kind of pick Isaac's brain about it too. So I'm looking forward to having Carl on the other end of that conversation because, you know, he did a lot of work with them as well. But I know Carl is trying to get Sam on. So, but in the meantime, I just kind of want to go back a little bit. I know mostly based on MMA, but I gotta just talk about the WWE for one second. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not somebody that you know lives by the UFC or I'm sorry lives by the WWE or wrestling. I know it's fake. I know it's scripted. But man, I had a great. I was hooked. I was hooked into their storylines, and I was hooked into the matches, and I was hooked into the entertainment. And, you know, I caught myself a couple of times just saying, man, you know, I can get back into this. I could watch this. I don't know who any of the guys are. You know, there's The Undertaker and Brock, obviously. Those are still guys. But, you know, there's Daniel Bryan and all these guys. But I, just stepping back and watching it and really looking at it as an athletic event and just purely entertainment, I had a really good time. Super athletes, guys really lay it all on the line, are incredible, incredible athletes. I had a good time. So, you know, I giggle about the streak, finger quotes, being broken and Undertaker and real grown men crying. And that's not a joke. There were real grown men crying over The Undertaker losing in a WrestleMania. But which kind of made me laugh, but other than it being scripted and whatever, my son had a blast, I had a blast, and it was interesting. So you may want to give that a look. But I know Carl is looking for Sam Alvey, so we'll wait to see if we can get him on here. But some big, big news coming out of MMA Madhouse. Very, very soon. I'm not allowed to say anything, and I don't want to get slapped by Carl or Skippy, so I'm not going to say anything. Just want to say, you know, keep your ears, keep your eye on MMAMadhouse.com. I know there's some big, big stuff coming out of our camp soon. But Carl, I'm not sure if I still have you or
I'm back. I was trying to get Sam, okay. Sam and Q, but I just got his voicemail, so we'll try him again in a few minutes, but I do have somebody on the line here. that, you know, we should bring him on and have a little chat with him. Let's go with this here. Area code 254, you're live.
Well, it's a pleasure being live. I am legendary sports radio icon, the Warrior. I was kind of anticipating some type of walk-up music, but that's fair. I can sing it. I can go a cappella. I don't need any music in the background. But I heard you talking about the Pavliches, and I'm actually out here in Texas on the outskirts of Fort Hood, but I spent quite a bit of time up in the Edmonton, Alberta area. Saw a lot of the fights in the infancy stage of the MFC back when they were at River Cree Casino, and I guess they've moved over to Shaw Conference Center, guys like Ryan Ford. But, you know, I like this Mark Pavlich. I like what he brings to the table. I like what his son does, and Dave Pavlich. They're tireless workers. They're on every form of media medium possible in order to promote the fights. You won't see somebody like a Jake Shields up in the MFC. You know, I all my respect to the jiu-jitsu guys, but I'm not paying, you know, $500 to sit in a suite, you know, to watch two guys lay on the mat like we saw with Lombard and Jake Shields at his last fight. I enjoyed it. I love those guys out in the 209. I love the guys out in Stockton and Melendez's gym at Caesar Gracie. But sometimes you just got to freaking fight. And he didn't fight. He didn't bring it. He didn't bring it his last fight. And I'm not paying. I'm not propping down $54 to watch this guy fight. I'm not buying the fight pass to watch Jake Shields. All the respect in the world for Caesar Gracie. All the respect in the world for the jiu-jitsu guys. But it's just like the NFL. You know, after your initial contract is up and it's time to, do you want to bring a rookie in who's going to, you know, hold the, you know, you don't need a gatekeeper. You're going to pay $120,000 to Jake Shields. Who's buying fights to watch that crap that we saw against Lombard? And the worst thing for the UFC that would have happened, if he would have actually choked Lombard out at the end, and then we've got to wait and see him again, then maybe he gets a championship fight, but that's why he was passed over. That's why he was passed over. He should have been fighting Condit and not Tyrone Woodley. But he's such a boring fighter that there's no way. I mean, there's just no way that I'm cropping down. He's not a main event fighter. I mean, he may be on the main event card fighting the fifth fight or the first of five fights. But there's no way. I can't understand the love. This isn't Strikeforce anymore. He's getting up there in years. He's on the tail end of a somewhat mediocre career, though it was very successful, though, in Strikeforce. And I can't blame Dana for cutting him. Holy cow. Yeah, I'd have cut him as soon as the fight was over.
Did you say your name was Warrior? I'm sorry. I missed. Did you,
yeah,
that's, you said,
I didn't
did
say my name was Warrior. It was a name given to me, so therefore I just repeated it.
Fair enough. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in tonight, and I couldn't agree with you more. I give him Jake Shields a little bit of love because I'm not saying that I like his fights. I'm not saying that I appreciate watching him. What I'm saying is he is not he is a legitimate jiu-jitsu you know tactician. I guess they would say. I'm not saying that I blame Dana White for cutting him. I'm just I'm excited that he is moving on to greener pasture. We support local MMA here. Like yourself, the MFC is one of my absolute favorite organizations. And I absolutely agree with you 100%. That I don't think that the MFC and the Pavliches are even going to look at him. I don't look at Jake.
Oh,
Shields.
That's
why I think
I wouldn't blame him for not. Like I said,
him.
It's just like dissecting a frog. You see a frog. Would you pay to watch a guy eat his head the head off a frog? Yeah, but you're not going to pay to watch a guy dissect a frog.
No, fair enough.
Hey, one more thing, though, before you let me go. I got to tell you something. You're talking a lot about, or there's a lot of talk about women's fighters. There's a fighter out of Vancouver, British Columbia. She's actually in Nebraska now at 117 or 115. Her name's Sarah TNT McLeod. And if you Google her and pull her up, she's a swimsuit contest winner as well. This is a legitimate fighter and absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. You can have your Rouseys, your Misha Tates, because them 135ers normally walk around 155, so a little bit porky like women from Alberta. But Sarah TNT McLeod has just dropped dead gorgeous.
You ever listen to her podcast?
What's that?
Do you ever listen to her podcast? She's doing a show.
I listened to it just the other day. I actually have a show on Blog Talk as well, the Warrior Report, MMA and Beyond. And she is just absolutely beautiful. Great voice, great look, great in a bikini. And not only is she physically attractive, but spiritually attractive as well. Only because I'm in my 50s and I didn't want to sound like a creepy old man.
I'm in my 30s and I'll be the creepy old guy too. Yeah, no, I really think that this aesthetically appealing MMA fighter is kind of the new trend. I mean, you're kind of getting away from a lot of the, you know, no disrespect to her, but the Cyborg, you know, you're moving into to Sarah McLeod and
Jessica Eyes, another looker.
Absolutely, and a fighter we sponsor over here at MMA Madhouse, Cheyenne Blissmiss. You know, she's very, you know, she's a young girl on the up and up in her career, and she's a looker, and let's not kid ourselves. Felice Herrig, I think she's a good-looking girl. I think this is going to be it's very interesting to me that these beautiful women are just as talented inside the cage as they are in front of a camera, and I think they really have an advantage over some of the less pleasing, you know, appealing women when their career is finished or they just want to do some different stuff. I'm looking at her right now, Sarah TNT McClellan. She is very beautiful. I mean, she...
No. She's not very beautiful. She is drop-dead gorgeous. And listen, since we're on that, women fighters, and hey, look, Rousey's kind of good-looking. I saw her on the... you get to see her a little bit more with her hair down in the Ultimate Fighter, but we want to say she's beautiful. We've kind of lowered the bar, you know. And,
yeah,
chicks that have to cut to get to 135, you know, I'm not dating too many chicks that are 160.
Here's the thing that Rhonda, I don't know her personally. I've had a chance to talk to her a few times, and before she was anybody, before she was Rhonda Rousey, the champion, she was very. She was very approachable. She was very humble. Now, I feel like her personality kind of even makes her more ugly. I don't feel like she's very, very attractive at all anymore. I mean, she's a decent looking. I think Misha Tate is better looking than just on the look than Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I mean, she's Sarah TNT McLeod makes you stop what you're doing. Like when I showed her guys on, or I Google her at work, guys stop what they're doing to look at her and see the photos. I mean, look at her, and she fights, and she's tough, and she's going to be applying to medical school. So not only is she smarter than you, a better athlete than you, better looking than you, but she's younger than you, and she's got a tremendous amount of upside. I wouldn't trade what Ronda Rousey has, or I wouldn't trade her future for what Ronda Rousey has now. The bar has not yet been set. And like I said, I don't put my name or my mind or speak that out around people that I barely know. But just the whole package, the big sister, big brother, legitimate appearances, she does everything that Ronda Rousey does. She just doesn't call a press conference before she does it.
I agree. Yeah, and that's one of the things that drives me crazy, the pound your chest, the pat your back, look at me. You know, you're not big enough to talk to me, so, you know, you're nobody to me. I may be good looking, but, you know, I'm still an idiot, and I'm still not a very pretty person on the inside. I agree, and I appreciate the call, Warrior. Call back anytime. I
appreciate it. Like I said, sometimes I fall in love with the sound of my voice, but I really enjoy your show.
I appreciate it, man. I really do. Thanks a lot for listening. And
you're
welcome back anytime, man. It was a Warrior. I appreciate a call, and I appreciate anybody that calls in with an opinion, man. And especially an opinion I can agree on. I don't have to argue. And I don't have to debate and hang up on him because I'm always right, Carl. I'm always right. No, I'm just kidding. I definitely love a good challenge. And, you know, we see eye to eye on something, and I know you see eye to eye on it too, is that the Pavlichs work very hard. They are one of the hardest working families in MMA, probably the hardest working families in MMA. You always see it's either Manon or Dave or Mark. they're always doing something. I mean, we got companies going here and there and everywhere. So I agree with the Warrior on that. So I'm going to have to check out his show too. I'm always in the market to support, you know, to support the little guy doing the work. Right, Carl?
No, big time. Yeah. My, myself, included. I'll have to, well, maybe I have checked out his show. I don't know. I listen to a lot of different podcasts. I'm always, like, almost daily checking out something new on Blog Talk because I like to see what's going on out there. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I have tuned in, but I'll definitely have to look him back up and give him another whirl.
Yeah, and he never has to feel like he's the creepy old man on this show because, listen, I will very proudly fly that flag. I will be the creepy old guy anywhere in the States, anywhere in North America. I'm your guy. So he doesn't have to worry about that on here. But, it looks like we're in a little bit of trouble getting a hold of Sam Alvey. But in the meantime, you and I will kick it back a little bit. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a chance to talk. I know there's some big news coming on the horizon here. I know we just did a new bear with me, Carl. The dates all run together for me. Was it this past Friday? We did a rough. Skippy and Lapaki did their show live on Friday night, and Rough China had their event, and they were able to do some live simulcasting with us. Is that correct? You want to walk the listeners through kind of what the how Rough China went?
It was cool. Yeah, it was special edition of MMA Madhouse Live. Yeah, they were talking to the fighters as they were being driven to the venue in the limos. Brandon Resnick hooked it all up for us. He's the son of Joel. They're the owners of Rough China. So they were picking up somebody in the limo, handing the phone to them. They had the translator there if needed, and they did for a few. And as they're trucking this guy over to the arena, they're Skippy and Lapaki are interviewing him, and it was fabulous. In the 200 episodes that Madhouse Live has done, that was definitely one of my favorite episodes that I've listened to. It was absolutely great.
And those guys are a rip, man. I mean, I've had the opportunity to listen to them a bunch, and those guys are a rip. They always keep it lighthearted, and if not for the faint of heart, they use some very colorful language, and they absolutely tell it like it is on there. But I'm sure they did a fabulous job. And there was some other stuff planned, and I'm sorry that stuff didn't go down. That would have been fun to watch as well, just to see these guys, have some video conferencing with these guys too. But
that's unfortunate. With the Rough China, we had a Madhouse booth set up. With a live video camera inside of it, fans and fighters could come in there and talk to Skippy and Lapaki. But unfortunately, that stream failed. The outfit that was doing it had some technical issues, and they also couldn't stream the event. But, luckily there was, four or five other outfits that were streaming the event, so, everybody could still watch the fights. But unfortunately, it cut off, the Madhouse booth live from mainland.
Well, I absolutely have nothing but love for Skippy and Lapaki. It would have been very interesting and almost comical to me to see some of the littler. They wouldn't know I'm trying to be very political here. The Asian population that was at the event. Stepping into the booth, thinking that it would be a good time, not knowing what they're going to get on the other end, and then they got, Skippy and Lapaki, who were just ready to have their way with them in the booth. That would have been funny to see in its own, because those guys go hard on Friday night, and they enjoy what they're doing there, and they have a great product, and it's fun to listen to if you get a chance. Is it 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time, Carl, or is it midnight down here?
The Rogue Show? The Rogue Show would be 1 o'clock, Eastern, Friday nights.
1 o'clock.
But, that wasn't a Rogue Show. It was a Friday night special of
Madhouse
Live. Oh,
special
edition
Live, you're right.
Yeah, which is, a little bit
more tame.
Family friendly?
A little bit more family friendly is what you're saying. Is that what we're going by now? A little bit? Okay.
A twee bit, yes.
So that's on the horizon, Rough Chatter. That was our first, and when I say our, I should say your, that was your first event as the sole North American outlet for Rough China. So that was very exciting. You know, that that's a great partnership, and you know, with many more to come. Hopefully, they'll be able to get that booth up and running. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that would definitely be something for sure. That would have been classic. But you know, I'm sure you know, Rough 13 is you know, just around the corner. I don't know if the date has been announced yet, but I saw the poster for it there yesterday. So, you know, yeah, Rough China, Rough 13 is coming up, and you know, we'll be all over that again.
As you always are, man. And I know there's some other stuff on the move, and you know, it's what they say, lead, follow, or get out of the way, and that's what you guys over at Madhouse are doing. I'm sure Skippy's on the phone with one of many phones. He's working right now doing some PR work for MMA Madhouse. So
he's probably he's probably on his phone. He's probably texting somebody, talking to somebody. He's probably on Skype. He's probably like got 8 Facebook messages open, and you know, he's probably tweeting, and you know, he might even be taking a picture of himself on Instagram. You just never know.
I will never forget the night he and I did the show together a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so now. And as he was asking a question to our guest, he was letting another guest on a different line answer a question he had just asked previously before, while our guest was answering the question. So what I'm saying is the man had 2 simultaneous conversations going, probably about 2 different parts of the world, and one probably about kickboxing, one about Canadian MMA, just incredible stuff. So it's always a good time to to work with Skippy and the other guys at MMA Madhouse. So let me see. What else you got, Carl? What else we got going on over here in the asylum?
Oh, jeepers. You know, I'm just pretty excited to get to head out to one of my 3 or 4 events that I get to cover every year. And, you know, Saturday night, well, I'm heading over there Friday night for the weigh-ins. Got Pauline Davidson coming with me. She's a professional photographer. We've got some special things planned for all the fighters at the weigh-ins that they're going to absolutely love. Just excited, man. Going to go kick it for a couple of days and cover some local MMA and watch some great fights.
Can you shed a little light on what you're going to be doing with these fighters at the weigh-ins, or is this going to be special and you don't want to let anybody know?
Yeah, I guess I can let everybody know. We're just bringing in, Pauline and I did it at Unified Combat League, Unified Combat League 20 in Kamloops a month ago. She brought her backdrop to the weigh-ins, and then right after the weigh-ins and the weigh-in photos, we would send all the fighters over to the backdrop where they get world-class photographs of just themselves. You know, and I'm talking like world class. I'll send you a link, or you can go find them on Pauline Davidson or Davidson Photography on Facebook. She's got them all up there from Unified Combat League 20, and you know, they're just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous pictures. Like just unbelievable. She's incredible. She's an incredible photographer. So we're gonna do that at Battle for the Border 3 as well.
That's very cool. That's just paying it forward, which you see often in local MMA, and you know, you see these guys trying to cut their teeth, and then you see people like Pauline paying it forward. So very cool, very cool stuff, and I will be looking forward to that link on Facebook.
Yeah, well, she's providing them a free service that would cost them a lot of money to go have done professionally, and we're doing it. We're doing it because we love MMA. We love the guys that don't get the breaks.
Right.
You know, it's just another little thing we can do to
try to help some of these guys out, and they can use those pictures for whatever. If they're gonna call up Jack's Media and get a custom media kit made, which are absolutely gorgeous, they'll have some just beautiful pictures to put in there. I've seen a couple that have been made now with our photos, and they're unbelievable. They're just, if somebody contacted, I get a lot of messages from guys, hey, will you sponsor me? And that's, basically all it says, which drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
And, if somebody sent me one of these media kits, instantly, it's got their bio, their record, where they train, blah, 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 the whole kabang. It's got all their social media links in it, pictures, videos. It's all right there in one click away, and you can check it all out right there. If a fighter wants to get sponsored or even is looking for promotions to fight at, these media kits are the way to go, man. Cheyenne has one. I got her one, and it's just gorgeous.
It brings me to kind of another point. I mean, a lot of these guys. I get it. I get you're fighting, amateur for, Backyard Brawl 75. I get that. But if you want to be serious about your craft, I guess you have to be serious about your craft, right? I mean, I guess you have to take everything seriously. You are the business. I mean, you can't just – there's not a product you're selling. The product you're selling is you and your hands and your ability. So, I mean, if you want to take it seriously, then what a better way – to take it seriously than a Jack's Media kit. I mean, like you just said, it's got everything. It's got, and Jack does incredible work. I mean, for God's sakes, the website, MMA Madhouse website, is just incredible. The logos, the logo he did for this show, the logo he's done for many shows. I mean, just incredible stuff. So, but I know we talked to Mark Pavlich a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about, I don't think he used this verbiage, but professionalism of fighters. I mean, some of these guys are donkeys. Some of these guys are, fly by nights, and but if you give me two people, one guy with, with his resume on a napkin and he's in jeans and a t-shirt working for a job, or you give me a guy that's got his resume and he's in a suit, his resume on good paper and in a suit, who am I going to hire? I mean, who am I at least going to look at a little bit more? So, I mean, when you drop a Jack Media kit in somebody's lap, and Pauline and you and Jax, just that's the kind of stuff that pushes the guy to the next level, I guess is what I'm saying. And I know Jax does a good job, and I know we support and promote him here on Full Guard Fright Radio, and I think you might even have something ready to go. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I ran Jack's Media ad, but I'm gonna here's another ad, and then we'll be right back.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential, and at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
And just another Draco Sports, just another incredible sponsor that we have. Every time I turn around, I see, I see MMA Madhouse people jumping on board, people wanting to be a part of it. Partnerships with major companies, Rough China. We're the sole North American website that covers their events. GFL TV, that by far is one of my absolute favorite companies that we work with. You get an iPay-per-view, you spend $10 on an event, and you get to watch it for forever. And you could buy five or six events for the price of watching one crappy UFO event, and you get to watch these for the rest of eternity. And Zufa, you can you can DVR it, but it's gonna, you know, it's gonna erase off of your DVR. So, I mean, just, you know, we always hashtag everything, hashtag everything support local MMA, you know. But I mean, it's no joke. I mean, Carl, I'm just talking about partnering with some of these incredible agencies, you know, incredible companies, you know, Jax and Draco and, you know, GFL, and I mean, just everybody. I mean, it's just, it's good stuff. But I was just thinking about when we were running at Draco Sports, and I was called, it's Draco. I was thinking about when we were running at, I was thinking about.
I've heard it pronounced a few different ways.
Yeah, I'm sure I've hammered it, you know. I'm sure I'm an idiot, but.
Oh, no, you're good. You should. I like the way the guys that do our Monday night show, the BS show, down in Atlantic Canada. I like the way they say it. I can't say it because I don't have that accent, but you know, definitely check out the BS show on Mondays. Boyd Sharp.
I was just thinking about what we were talking about before we went to break there, and about just the professionalism. I know. I don't know if we have Isaac coming up. I know you were looking for him, but if we don't, it's cool. I got some stuff on my mind. Now, let me ask you this, Carl. You do. Okay, well, then let's bring Isaac in here because this will fit perfectly because I want to talk about some professionalism. I mean, you guys were putting together a card, and I'll get into it. Without further ado, Isaac Hockel, the promoter and – I believe the matchmaker, right, of Battle for the Border 3. Isaac, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, Isaac. How are you tonight?
I'm crazy busy but excited for the show this weekend.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm talking to Carl, and I know you guys have been banging out a lot of, you know, trying to iron out a great card. I mean, he sent me the fight card. I'm looking very forward to it. Walk me through the challenges you've had for Battle of the Border 3, trying to put together this card. What are some of the challenges that you've had doing putting this together?
Oh my goodness! First of all, I have to give a big shout out to Carl because honestly, if it wasn't Carl and Skippy and the MMA Madhouse, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even have a fight card right now, to be honest. So
a huge shout out and thanks
to them. I mean, the first thing we dealt with was we worked so hard to get Rama, you know, our number one heavyweight in Canada, a big fight. And we landed it. We got it. And then 3 weeks later, after we signed contracts and everything, he broke his foot. So that definitely set us back. And then actually I seen, which is great news, he's got a fight coming up in May. So, you know, he just got back into the gym. Actually, I think yesterday was his first day training back in the gym. So at least it wasn't going to hurt his career that bad. But, man, we're really looking forward to that fight on our card.
And then once that happens, you start to scramble and you start feeling like, well, this is just me kind of thinking anyway. Do you start to scramble and do you start thinking, oh, my God, we got to scrap this whole card? Or was it
Because as soon as Rama got hurt, I ended up losing three of the local fighters that I had on my card as well. And, oh, man, right after that happened, and actually one of them, Brandon MacArthur, passed away, which was, that was a horrible, horrible thing for Cranbrook.
Oh, you said he passed away? He died?
Yeah, he died, which is such a sad story because he left behind a beautiful 8-year-old daughter and just a horrible story.
Oh my goodness! Are you able to tell the story, or is it something that you're not comfortable telling?
Yeah. What happened was he had a fight about 4 weeks prior before he passed away, and he got pretty beat up in the fight. So he had some damaging ribs, and he was on some drugs from the doctors, and, you know, he was living a crazy, crazy lifestyle, and one of the mornings he just didn't wake up, and it was, I think he was popping too many of the pills that the doctors were there for him, and it was just, it's a horrible story, man, so.
Yeah, you know what, I'm down here in South Florida, and this they say this is the pill capital of the world, and I work in a a position where I deal with that a lot, and those are very that's a very deadly and dangerous combination as prescription drugs. But man, oh man, that's very sad, very sad.
It is. So we were, I mean, I remember talking to Carl about around this time, and we kind of talked about it. I said, man, I might be scrapping this card here, you know, because the number one thing with these local and, you know, small-time Ami and pro MMA fights is local sell tickets. And with losing
right.
Brandon and losing a couple of the other guys and then losing Rama, we were so close to doing it. And then he approached me and said, look, you know, we'd love to sponsor you guys and try to help you guys out to see what we can do. And then as soon as Carl got on board and the MMA Madhouse got on board, the card took away, and we ended up with an exciting card. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, you got 10 fights. You got you have 5 amateur and 5 pro fights, a great mixture, a couple catch weights. You got an incredible main event, Mike Kent and Alfonso Gonzalez. Carl tells me that Alfonso Gonzalez, and I'm going to use the word killer. Carl called him an absolute killer. So I'm looking forward to watching that fight. I know he's very, very excited about it. I just got to ask, is it – I mean, you're coming in. You're 1 week out now. Is this kind of a time that you can sit back and you can take a breath, or are you just still just as stressed out as you were 4 weeks ago?
You know what? And this is funny. This is coming to my my co-main event here with Cody. I know I'm kind of switching gears here, but
no, you're good.
I still
you're
haven't good. Got in some. Like, we're dealing with the new athletic commission that came into BC, which
okay.
I got to say, man, these guys are great to deal with. Everybody from the commission has been outstanding. You know, they've been really willing to work with us, but it's just a whole new game for us, like even with the fighters and the managers and the coaches. And right now, I'm still waiting on Cody McKenzie's blood work. So I'm a little worried on that, but, I mean, dealing with his managers, they promised me that it'll be in tomorrow afternoon. So as soon as that gets in, then I'll be able to breathe here.
So that comes in tomorrow afternoon. Everything comes back all good. Do you start working right away on Battle for the Border 4? Are you going to take some time to reap the benefits of this card and watch a great card?
No, it's Battle for the Border 4 is already planned, man. I'm looking at the end of October, and I've got some really cool ideas for some fights. And I'm going to go a little bit more local than I did with this card because, like I said, I got a ton of locals that got hurt, that got bumped off the card. So my number one priority are going to be those locals first. But then hopefully have I really like this Alfonso Gonzalez. As soon as Carl mentioned this guy to me, I looked him up, and, man, this guy's a trooper. And, you know, and depending on how well this fight goes, I hopefully will have him back out in October.
Very cool. Now, I see you have a couple, your co-main event and your main event, those are catchweight fights. Is that always something that's difficult for you, trying to put together fights, trying to get the right guys to fit in, or are you pretty comfortable with just saying, you know, let's get you in here, let's get you fighting at a catchweight?
Well, the problem with the Alfonso fight, I looked and searched and searched, and Carl can even back me up on this. We couldn't find anybody that would take this fight. Like, I'm talking
really?
Nobody. And it was funny, as soon as they heard the name Alfonso Gonzalez and they heard the record 4-0, they're like, sure, yeah, I'll take the fight. And then literally about 5 hours later, their manager or the fighter would call me back and say, nope, I don't want nothing to do with it. So then
yeah,
when
sure.
I got a hold of Mike Kent and his manager, you know, we were only about, this was about a week and a half ago, okay? So I approached Mike with it, and, you know, Mike's a great fighter. I've known Mike for a long time, and he said he would love to take the fight, but, you know, he's, since his last fight, was it, who did he fight? Was it Baker? Matt Baker, I think?
Yeah,
was
Matt
it Baker?
Baker, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so after that last fight, you know, he's kind of taken some holidays and stuff, so he was a little overweight, but he still, don't get me wrong, he's still been in the gym lots, and, you know, to get down to 185 in a week and a half, 2 weeks was kind of a stretch for Mike. So then I talked to Alfonso, and they both said, "Hey, let's make this fight work. We both want to fight." Alfonso loved the idea of taking on Mike because, I mean, he's ranked, right? Like, he's, what is he in MMA standings? I think, or in Canada rankings? I think is he ninth or eighth? Like, you know, he's up there. So Alfonso was excited about it, so he signed on the 200 pounds, and same with Mike. So that fight just kind of fell together and ready to rock.
You know what? I think this kind of segues me right into to what Carol and I were talking about a little bit ago about professionalism. I mean, that's professional. These guys are fighters, man. They want to fight. This is what they do. This is what they train for. This is what they love. And as a promoter, you got to be like, I would take a thousand of you guys because I got to deal with some of these prima donnas. Now you kind of have a little bit of different stuff. You have amateur and professional fights going on. So
yes.
is it more difficult to deal with the amateurs, or is it harder to deal with the professionals? The professionals meaning just by their class, pro MMA, because I got to think that somewhere along the way, you've dealt with a lot of fighters in your day, a lot of managers, a lot of agents, whatever. The professionalism has got to drive you crazy on some of these guys, right?
Oh, man, you have no idea. I've got two amateurs that are on my card that have shown more professionalism than I've ever dealt with any professional fighter in my entire life.
Right.
like this Lane Keyes kid and who's fighting under Brian Bird right now. Those guys are incredible. I mean, Brian, he's got to be one of the best coaches in Western Canada, if not Canada. And he's been just a charm to deal with. Those guys are exceptionally easy. And then obviously Ryan Rohovich out of Saskatchewan with, I know Cord and Lucien and those guys are bringing down. They're so professional. And then, I'm not going to say any names by any means.
Sure, yeah.
I dealt with a couple of professionals on this card that have been not that easy to deal with, I'll tell you that.
And as a promoter, as a matchmaker, is that one of the worst things to have to deal with, or is there something else? Because I can tell you this, as a fan, I don't get a chance to see the behind the scenes like you and Carl and the guys doing it. But I can tell you what, my biggest pet peeve is a fighter missing weight. What is a promoter... I got to think, I just been thinking of my personality, myself, that somebody coming in that is this prima donna, expects the world by the balls, per se, I guess what I'm asking is, what is the worst thing for you as a promoter?
Well, you get the one guy on the one side, training so hard, and then you've got pretty much a paycheck fighter on the other side. And then the paycheck fighter shows up, and he shows up either 5 to or even 10, 15, I've even seen, pounds overweight. And then the other guys work his ass off to get to that 155 or that 185. And, yeah, it's frustrating, man. But at the same time, when you're dealing with this sport, it's a part of the sport. And
and
I know I'm going to take some flack on saying this, but with this 24-hour before weigh-ins, I've seen some people hurt themselves. And it's given some of these kids that are coming up who are 17, 18 years old who are trying to cut 15 to 30 pounds in a week that are literally hurting their bodies, man. And I don't agree with that. So, I'd love to see, and I know it's not possible, it's not going to change, but I would absolutely love to see an hour before weigh-in. So what they're walking around, what they're fighting,
really?
They're training at. They fight at, yeah. I'm so sick of this cutting weight because, I think it's every body and every athlete is different. Some athletes can drop 30 pounds with ease. I'm talking easy. A week and a half, drop 30 pounds, and then that next 24 hours, pick the weight back up and they're fine. Other fighters, other athletes can't do that. And then you get some of these amateurs coming up in the world and they're seeing – these other guys trying to drop this weight, and then they do it not in a healthy way, and it's honestly life-threatening for some people, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I usually, every time I talk to a fighter going into his fight, that's one of the things that I really talk to him about is because it's a phenomenon to me. I walk around, I'm a big guy, I like to eat, man. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to go grab some wings and a pizza, I can tell you that right now. But when I'm walking, we're going... a couple days outside of a fight, and this guy's like, oh, I got about 12 pounds to lose. I'm like, 12 pounds? That would take me a couple months to drop, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's one of the most unhealthy, it ruins, we sponsor a fighter here at MMA Madhouse, Cheyenne Velisma. She, I had her on the show, and we were talking, and she said her last weight cut was just horrible, and it took her about 2 weeks to come back from that. And this girl is 18 years old, man. She's got her whole life ahead of her. She's going to be a mother eventually. This stuff can really damage her body forever. So it's very interesting to me to hear out of a promoter's mouth, but out of a matchmaker's mouth, that 24-hour wait, you know, weigh-ins is something that he would like to see go away. Now, you're advocating for 1 hour. Do you think that would have an effect on some of the cards? You know, some of these guys aren't taking it as seriously as they should be.
And I did bring this up to actually the BC Commission already, just out of, you know, shits and giggles, to be honest. And
sure.
What they reported like back to me was saying the problem is if we did it 1 hour or the same day weigh-in, that if, say, the kid didn't make weight or if they had to change something, there's no way that you can change the card. At least with that 24 hours, you have a little bit of leniency to fix a card, which I get. But, I mean, we're talking about kids' lives. Like you just said, that 18-year-old girl, it took her 2 weeks to come back for that. Now, if you think she's 18 years old, she should be fighting, if she's an amateur, 4 to 8 times a year, okay?
Sure.
So if she did that 4 to 8 times in a year, what kind of side effects is that going to have to her body?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you said something just a minute ago that I wanted to follow up on because it was a great point. And I know what it was. You were talking about, you know, the commission saying you wouldn't be able to change an event. Well, isn't one of the things that one of the rules, one of the reasons, one of the ways a fight is stopped is when a fighter can intelligently defend themselves, and then they always say it's because, you know, they're looking out for the benefit of the fighter. Well, cutting 30 pounds in 4 days, I mean, you're just promoting damage to a fighter. I mean, it's kind of a contradictory, right?
We got to understand, too, this is such a new sport. Like, and even this BC Commission, man, they are working so hard to figure everything out and have the right bylaws and put the right rules into place. Like, for instance, they for one of the amateur rules, they came in and it's called a novice amateur rule, okay?
Okay.
So what they're saying, and this is a rule that they put in, if you have under 3 fights, both opponents have under 3 fights, they cannot ground and pound the opponent. And when I heard this, I had a very, very big problem with this. And the biggest reason is when I got into MMA even a few years back, I'm talking 6 years back when I was bringing in, starting my own athletic commission into Cranbrook. Because I was one of the guys who started the athletic commission in Cranbrook when it was the own municipality. And one of my arguments with the city council was saying, look, MMA is healthier for your brain with contact to your brain than boxing is. And the reason because of that is, with boxing, even amateur boxing, you can knock a kid to the ground. And when they're dazed, they can even be sort of knocked out, say. Then they have a 10 count to recover. Then they stand up, and then they take more damage. Okay?
Yep.
So now that's the biggest problem with boxing. So then you go to this MMA now, and then you put this athletic commission, put this new rule in. So now, and I've even seen this happen in BC since this rules came out. What a heavyweight, because I got a heavyweight fight on my card. It's Dustin Luke, he's 0-0, and he's fighting this Yuri Gromochkin from Russia. I know, I've even heard it come out of Dustin's mouth. When he knocks Yuri out, when he knocks him to the ground, he's not going to pounce on him. He's going to step back, wait for the guy to recover, to get back to his feet. Now, how is that different than boxing then?
Yeah, absolutely. You say recover, he's not even going to be recovering. You know what I mean? It's going to be, you know, stand up, let's go, let's get back at it and take close to the head. You're absolutely
correct. Exactly.
So
when you look, when you look at the pro MMA rules, when you ground and pound the guy, like you knock him out on his feet, the guy hits his back, and then they usually get 1, maybe 2 punches in. If the ref's good, he jumps in and the fight's over. Okay, so the guy doesn't get a lot of damage. The way they're setting up for these amateurs, I think it's dangerous. I don't like it.
And that, in their mind, is saving damage to these fighters. Yet they're gonna promote stand back up and take more damage to the head. Yeah, I mean you have a very valid point, Isaac. Yep, have a very valid point. You know, take me back. I didn't realize you're brand new to this. And take me back to the beginning of you as a promoter and you know, you as a matchmaker. How'd you get started in this game, Isaac?
Well, it actually started, I think one of the first events I ever shot was Glenn from Trail did these AM Ford nights a while back, and I was the photographer coming in from Cranbrook taking photos of the Cranbrook fighters that were over on the card, and I actually remember meeting Carl because he was selling MMA Madhouse stuff, and that was the first time I met Carl. So it was years and years and years ago. And back then I was a boxer, and, you know, I was in MMA, but we didn't really have the best club in town, so I just kind of, you know, I wasn't into it 100%.
Sure.
So then as a promoter, I was bringing in music and hip-hop shows and some rock shows. I thought, well, you know, Cramrick should have one of these, and then it took off from there. And then once I realized I had to start an athletic commission and go through the city council, and, I mean, you got to understand, convincing a 65-year-old lady who's never even heard of MMA before that you can – it's in a cage, first of all, and that you can sit on their chest and elbow them repeatedly in the face – It was tough to get past, trust me.
That was an easy sell, right? Is that what you're telling me? That was an easy sell?
That's right.
So you get it started, you decide this is it for you, and you said you were a boxer. Did you ever fight MMA yourself, or has it been just the promotion aspect?
No, I've done a little bit of jiu-jitsu and some ground and some stand up, and I'm even my wife. I actually recently got married in October, and, you know, she's been around in a few of the gyms as well. And I'm planning on running for city council this November, and I've kind of told myself on a bucket list, if I do get on a city council, I think one of the coolest things would be to take an amateur cage fight. So if I get on city council, it'd be pretty funny if I called another city councilman out from another city in Canada and called him out in the cage.
And set it up in the cage, absolutely.
What do you think?
I think it would be great, man. I think it would be. I think you would get some press, some publicity, and I think you know, if you get another guy on the other end that's willing to have a good time with it and take it seriously enough, I think you guys would have a good show.
That's exactly what we're aiming for, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So Battle of the Border 3. A great card. I was looking at it. I'm really, really looking forward to the card. I talking to Carl and behind the scenes and hearing his passion for it and his excitement for it. And he only gets to go to about 3 shows a year because there's none within 875,000 miles of the guy's house. Like the tundra. But so he's super pumped about it. When are you going to be able to sit back and you and him are going to be able to grab a beer? Is it going to be after the show, or is it going to just be all business all the time? I mean, you got to – I know I kind of asked you this a little bit ago, but I just feel like – I feel bad for you guys. I feel bad. You know, you're super pumped about the card. It's going to go off without a hitch. It's kind of like when you get married, you know? I mean, the best advice I ever got was, you know, a couple days before my wedding, it's like, just enjoy it, man. There's nothing you can do to change anything now, you know, that kind of stuff. So when do you guys sit back and just enjoy it?
It's true, you know, like we work really hard, and I'm sure the day of I'll be extremely busy, but as soon as that first fight comes on there, man, I'm going to enjoy the night. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there'll be a couple things throughout the night where I'll have to run off and take care of and everything, but no, I'm once it gets to fight time, I mean, the reason why I do it is because I love MMA, and I'm not going to, this isn't a job, you know, it's not to make money, I'll tell you that, so... we're excited for the fights. I'm definitely going to have a beer in my hand, sitting cage side.
Very cool. Now you got 10 fights, and I know you kind of want to be. You know, you're excited to see all the fights. What fight are you most excited to see?
There's a couple. I'm really
okay.
Really excited to see this Dustin Luke kid. He's 0-0.
Okay.
He was a Golden Gloves boxer from when he was younger.
Ooh.
And he's been working really, really hard at some ground game in the last couple of years. And he's a heavyweight, you know, and the kid's in great shape. What he can bring to the table. I'm excited about Lane Keys. That kid's, you know, 150-pound catch weight, a destroyer as an amateur. And even the 170 title fight that I got, Donovan Hack versus Ryan Rohovich. That'll be an interesting fight, you know, 4-0 for both of the guys. One of those guys is going
right.
to walk away with lose. So, and then, of course, even going to the professional card. The Mike Kent versus Alfonso, man, when you look at it on paper, it's a very, very, very interesting fight.
Yeah, I think that's the fight I'm looking most forward to, because just hearing the excitement in Carl's voice when he was telling me about Gonzalez, he was super excited. I could hear him. It was like a kid in a candy store, you know, he was super excited. So I think that's the one I'm I'm looking at. Now, as I'm looking at this on paper, I just have a question about that Lane Keys. He's fighting a Will Shooter, Shutter.
Will Shutter.
Is 3-0. Okay, and Will is 1-5. Are those five losses? I mean, you get the average.
When you look at this on paper, you're like, why am I giving Lane Keys this Will Shutter
right.
guy?
Right.
First of all, the first time, I think it was Lane's second fight, they were both fighting on the same card. And they both fought the same couple guys. And Will, ever since Will seen Lane fight, Will's wanted a piece of him. Will thinks 150% that he's going to win this fight. And a few of the fights that he lost were by split decision, like all-out war. So I'm definitely not cutting Will out on this one.
I got you.
If I can jump in for a second there, I've seen Will fight a couple of times. You see it on paper and you think, he's fighting the can, but Will Shutter, he brings it every time he comes. That kid is the real deal. Put his record away. It means nothing. That's going to be potential fight of the night as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I know, Carl, your decision-making, and I knew that there had to be a reason that you put that kind of the fight together. I mean, a 1-5 guy with 3 split decision losses, you know, he could be 4-2 right now if it goes the other way. So I understand, but I just wanted to – I wouldn't be doing due justice if I didn't ask the question. So it's kind of cool to step back and take a look at this card. You've got a lot of guys that you're giving their first fight or their second fight to, man. That's got to be exciting to kind of step back and give these guys the platform to start their careers.
To bang.
To give them the platform to say, you know, here it is, man, go out and enjoy yourself. And then, you know, 5 years down the road, you're watching champions and some of the major promotions. Is that something that you take a second to think about, or is it just part of the game for you?
Well, it's you caught me off guard on that one. It's when you watch these fighters, I mean, even you think from back on my first fight night, we had our main event was Smiley O'Rama versus Jordan Tracy, and this was 3 years ago. And they were both at 3-1.
Sure.
And now look at Smiley. I mean, he hasn't looked back. I mean, if he had his pardon in place, he'd be already fighting in the UFC. It's cool to give these guys the platform and watch them go up, you know. And I'm expecting that from a few of these guys on this card, like even Lane and Donovan moving up through the ranks, and even Alfonso. You know, if Alfonso beats Mike Kent, all of a sudden he's ranked in Canada, and he wins a couple more out of that. Where does he go from there? You know.
Right. Yeah, I think that's super cool, and that's one of the reasons I really love working with Carl and MMA Madhouse, because, you know, I get a chance to talk to these 0-0 amateur guys. I talked to a guy a couple weeks ago that was super nervous to talk to me. I'm just a knucklehead down in South Florida that's never been in a cage or in a gym, and this guy's nervous talking to me. I was shaking like a leaf when I'm talking to him, but he's so young and so fresh, but this kid had fire and passion, and this kid really wanted to fight, and he couldn't wait for his first fight. He's like, I hope I get beat up, and you know, and that's cool, man. You're in a cool spot, Isaac, that you have a chance to give lots of kids. I'm 5 or 6 kids here that are going to have their first or second fight with you. And I think that's really cool. And I think you're doing these kids a really amazing service, because, you know, some people, like you said, that 65-year-old woman may not want to deal with it and may not want to be the one. But I think it's very cool. And you need to pat yourself on the back for that, man.
I appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Yeah. So you said earlier you just got married in October. The wife was supportive of this. She's not thinking you're crazy.
No. She loves MMA. Actually, to be honest, she's sitting right beside us because she was really excited to hear about the interview.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I'm always impressed with ladies that. That enjoy and that are supportive of it. Because, you know, you get the ones that are like, oh, boy, you know, the MMA stuff. But that's very awesome. Go ahead, bud.
Sorry?
No.
Yeah, she's got a few favorite fighters in MMA. She can't wait to watch Ronda Rousey get beat up here coming up in the next year.
Fair enough. I tell her I'm on her. She's got my support on that one for sure.
Yeah.
Isaac, I don't know how many what your plans are for battle for the border. I don't know if we're going to go battle the border 150, but what kind of plans are you looking for, man? Is this something that you want to, you know, take to the ends of the earth, or is this something that you're just enjoying and you'll just kind of see where it goes?
Honestly, right now it all depends on numbers too, you know, because the last thing I can do is throw these on and then it ends up costing me money, you know. So
sure,
we get all of the right now, we're definitely doing a 4. Will we do a 5 and a 6? We'll see. You know, I got to see, like, and Carl knows how hard this one was to put together. But at the same time, when you put that much effort into it and it's hard, they end up, the reward at the end is that much better. So, you know, right now it's still in the hard part. So I bet if you ask me next week, I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's going on forever. We'll be at Battle for the Border 105. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Isaac, listen, man, I really appreciate you joining me tonight. Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can buy tickets, where they can see it, where they can, you know, how they can get to this fight. I know it's coming up here, and I know we got a lot of excited people. So tell everybody where they can see it, how they can get tickets, where they can find you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, you know, Pinterest. I don't know, whatever social media you guys got. So let everybody know where
they can find,
brother.
It's really easy. All they do is go on Facebook and type in Battle for the Border 3, and then all the links up to get the tickets, where to watch it online, all that will be right there. It's super, super easy. And then if they're in the area and they want to get tickets, they can get the tickets at Denham Ford or just on TicketWeb.
Okay. And there's still tickets available at this time?
Oh, yeah. There's lots, man. It's great.
Very cool. Very cool. I can tell you this. You're gonna have a fan down here in South Florida watching. So I'm looking forward to seeing that card, man. A lot of hard work went into that between you and Carl. I know that for sure. So I'm looking forward to it. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck in success in the future, Isaac.
Hey, I appreciate that from both of you guys. And again, I want to give a huge shout out to Carl. Like I said, I couldn't have done this card without him. And so yeah, thanks, guys. I'll let you know.
I had so much fun, Isaac. You have no idea. I got to see a side of the sport that I never really got to play with, and you know, I just had an absolute blast. And any time at all, you ever need anything, you just hit up MMA Madhouse, and we're there, man.
Well, I can't wait to call you for the next one, then, Carl, because we're going to need your help again, buddy.
Okay,
you know,
I'm there.
Before I let you go, Isaac, I got to be honest with you. That is one thing that I'm super jealous. I tell Carl all the time. I'm always pitching, hey, Carl, you ever think about doing fighter, you know, management or promotion stuff? Because that is like, I am super jealous that he got a chance to dabble in that. And that's the kind of stuff I would love to get into. So when he's telling me about it, I'm just like, I was like an angry ex-girlfriend when he's telling me about his new girlfriend. I was super pissed, you know, but I know he was excited about it.
I know, sounds good. I'll try to involve you a little bit more next time, bud.
No, you're good, man. Best of luck to you, Isaac, and I'll talk to you again, okay, bud?
Cheers, guys. Peace.
Isaac Hockle, man. That's good stuff. Running for city council. The guy's got a lot of pokers in the fire, man. That's pretty cool stuff. So he's got a supportive wife. It's always good to have a supportive wife, right, Carl?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, man, it makes it easy, right?
Wouldn't be where I am without one, I'll tell you that much.
Making me feel guilty that a couple weeks ago, I forget what we were talking about. We had, I think it was Mike Dobie was on, and he was telling us about his wife and how, you know, she's his number one fan or something like that, and then he made me feel guilty, so I had to go buy my wife a present. Thanks.
Hey, we didn't even hardly touch on that fight. Mark Dobie and Cody McKenzie, you know, I've been keeping pretty close. We've been a sponsor of Mark's for a long time, and you know, been staying pretty close with him since he's got this fight. And you know, Mark is pumped, man. He's working his balls off. He's going to be so ready for this fight. I can't wait. You know, Mark is a really, really, really good striker. You know, I've seen his improvement, you know, over the years, just leaps and bounds. And he's another guy where you might look at his record and go, you know, why is he fighting Cody McKenzie? Well, he's fighting Cody McKenzie because he's electric. When Mark Dobie comes to fight, he comes to fight. And, you know, Cody's the same way. You know, the bell rings and Cody sprints across the cage at the guy.
So, you know, it's going to be an electrifying fight. And if it isn't, I'll be more shocked than anybody. It's just not going to happen. This fight is going to be, you know, just pure electricity.
You know, one of the things that I absolutely was looking at it, and I wanted to bring it up, but I was, it's one of those things, like, you just don't talk about it, because Isaac seemed a little bit, you know, he said that was one of the things that he was really most nervous about, was that Cody's blood work hadn't been back. It's like one of those things, like, you don't speak about it. It's like throwing a no-hitter in baseball. You know, you don't talk to the pitcher ever, because, you know, you're going to be the one that jinxes his no-hitter, and then, you know, that's going to be it. So I didn't want to jinx him and have not have the paperwork come back. So that's kind of why I didn't bring it up. But I definitely agree with you 100% that, you know, talking to Mark Dovey the other day, I guess it was a couple weeks now, but he was, you know, he got me all fired up, man. There's a few people in this business that get me all cranked up, and he was one of them. So, and Cody McKenzie, I know, you know, he's got the history, and he, you know, you see him on TV and in the big shows and things like that. So that's going to be a good fight. But I am really, I got to be honest, Carl, after hearing your excitement about Alfonso Gonzalez, I really, really am pumped for that Mike Kent, Alfonso Gonzalez fight.
Yeah, Mike Kent, I looked it up. He's ranked actually 10th in Canada. That's going to be a great fight. And back to Cody McKenzie, you know, he spent a lot of his early years up in this area, you know, training out of Pride Gym in Trail, British Columbia. You know, he fought locally in my turf here many times. I seen Cody McKenzie fight like 6 or 7 times live before he was ever in the UFC. You know, I'm a big fan of Cody's too, and Mark. And you know, I just love it. I just love it. I don't know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. But you know, I've been a Cody McKenzie fan for a long time as well.
I know this is your first go around with promoting, and I know Isaac gave you a lot of props, and I think that's very humble and that's very nice of him, because I know you did a lot of work with him. But tell me a little bit about what, and I know you don't have a lot to go on, but tell me a little bit about what your most frustrating thing was trying to put together an event.
For me, none of it was frustrating. It was all fun.
Right,
it was all just, you know, because it was so new, you know, I could see if, you know, this was, say, the 10th or 20th or 50th or 100th time I'd gone through it, maybe some of it would be a little frustrating. You know,
right.
You get you get two guys that are ready to scrap, it's all good, and then the next day you find out that, you know, one of them can't make it or whatever, right? That was the part that I guess you would find a little bit frustrating, but for me it was just like another opportunity for me to reach out farther for more fighters, you know, to find those guys that were ready to come and bang. And, you know, I did that a lot for this card, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I remember seeing a lot of those, a lot of the tweets and a lot of the hit me ups if you're, you know, if you're a 185er looking to fight it, you know, and I knew that was going to be your answer because I knew you got a kick out of it and I knew you enjoyed it. But I can absolutely see how that would be very frustrating. You think, okay, good, at least I can check that fight off. And then, you know, a day later, oh, I don't want to fight, or I can't make weight, or I just am chickening out, something like that. And then you're like, ugh, you know. But I knew that was going to be your answer just because it was the first time. And it's the first time you were told no, and, oh, crap, I got to go find somebody else. So, but I think that would be pretty cool for me, too, that you get a chance to – you know, to kind of play matchmaker. I mean, really true, that's exactly what you're doing. You know, I got this guy, you know, just like that Will Shutter and Lane Keyes fight. You know, I mean, on paper, it looks like, you know, you're setting Lane up for just an easy victory. But then when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, you know, Will is a 1-5, but as Isaac said, 2 or 3 of them went split decision. So, I mean, so if you go 2, that now you're looking at a 3-3 record, you know, so things change really, really quickly in when you're talking about records and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen, speaking of that fight, I've seen Lane Keyes fight twice, and he is, you know, the real deal. And the same with Will Shutter. I've seen him fight twice, maybe 3 times, twice for sure. And, you know, like I said, you know, that record means nothing. That's going to be a great fight.
What is your, I know I'm probably going to answer this when I even say this. I know you're looking forward to the Dobie McKenzie fight, but other than that, what's the fight you're most looking forward to?
I'm most looking forward to the main event. And Alfonso Gonzalez, but really close is Mark Dobie and Cody McKenzie, just because I have a good relationship with Mark Dobie, and I've talked and met Cody a few times, and I watched him fight way back when his pre-Ultimate Fighter days, and so it's a bit of a relationship with him as well. So that fight means a lot to me as well. But I'd have to go with Mike Kenton, Alfonso Gonzalez for sure, being the fight I'm the most looking forward to.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely looking forward to Mark Dobie fighting, because, to be honest, I think I've only ever seen him one time, and it was on, like, YouTube, and it was very terrible, camera angle or whatever. But I really, just hearing your excitement about Alfonso Gonzalez, that is something that I am looking forward to seeing is that fight. But Carl, before we wrap up here, before we go to Fight Radio, anything else you got this week, man?
No. Unfortunately, something came up with Sam Alvey, and we missed him this week. But we're right back next week with. Let me just pull it up really quick here. We've got our first guest all of this month is MFC. We're leading up to the MFC 40. And next week we have crud. I got way too many. Fans.
And you know what? And you know what? Those guys over at the MFC are just incredible. Scott Zier and Mark Pavlich and all those guys over there—they're just incredible. So I'm sure something came up with Sam. I hope he's okay. I hope there's no emergency. I hope it was just a scheduling conflict or he got caught up at the gym. He owes me nothing. I appreciate all the MFC does for us and things like that. So missing him is absolutely. In whatever, so that's no sweat off my back, man. He's got bigger fish to fry than this knucklehead down here in South Florida. So
it's all good. Yeah, no, we've talked to Sam many times. He's a great guest, great guy, great fighter, and we'll have him back another time. It's all good. Next week we have Tom Glaccio, then we have Kurt Southern, and then we wrap up the month with Mark Pavlich. Those are our next three guests from the MFC over the next 3 weeks. So looking forward to all of that. And, maybe after MFC 40, we can get Sam Alvey on it.
Yeah, it sounds like a boring month, man.
Boring month,
I'm going to have to warn my neighbors before we have Mark Pavlich on, because usually I will start something on fire in my backyard, or I will – I run through somebody's fence or something, because the guy just cranks me up. I just I don't know how he ever sleeps. Poor man, and she probably is just like, oh, Mark, puts the blinders and the headphones on and just let him do his thing, because that guy is just all energy all the time, man. And I love talking to Mark Pavlich. It is absolutely one of my favorite interviews to do, and it's so easy. You ask one question, and, the interview's over 35 minutes later. It's the best.
Mark is great. I think we've had Mark on the air probably more than anybody in all of the shows that are on Madhouse Productions Radio Network. Mark has been on pretty much all of them, except for a couple of the new ones, I guess, with the BS show and Sunday Night Live. But we got about 90 seconds left here until the show wraps up, so. Wrap us up there, Mr. London.
I will. And just real quick before I let everybody go, Mark Pavlich can be on 1,000 times and he comes with something new every time. And it's just, he's just so much fun. But for Carl, for Skippy, for Lepaki, for Matt, for the BS show, for everybody here at MMA Madhouse, I am Jason London. This is Full Guard Fight Radio. Stay tuned, man. Big things coming in MMA Madhouse, the Asylum. Next Tuesday, right here at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, breaks down to 8 o'clock Pacific Time. Right back here, Blog Talk Radio, Full Guard Fight Radio. For Carl Man Mortensen, I'm Jason London. Good night.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.